Welcome to The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. And now, your host,
Jerry Tridle.
Thanks very much, and welcome to the epilogue or the capstone of our 6-episode series as we work through the book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. I wanted to touch on an area that I think was going to be very important as we walk our Christian walk in this reign of Christ. And it has to do with a concept of last things called the Book of Life. And you see this in the New Testament. One time in the letter to the Philippians, St. Paul said that his companions were those whose names are written in the Book of Life. And we also see the rest of the times of the New Testament when we see this concept of the Book of Life as being in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that particular phrase is about 7 times in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see it that if one's name were not in the Lamb's Book of Life on the last days of this current reign of Christ, in other words, when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, when all of his enemies are made a footstool for his feet, the dead are raised and the books are opened, and everyone that was raised will be judged by their works written in the books. And then there's the Book of Life, and the Book of Life has the names of those who have been called since the foundations of the world, those who are called, chosen, and faithful, those who persevered in the faith, those who endured to the end. Their names are in the Book of Life. And then we also see, pertaining to the Book of Life, that one's name can be blotted out of the Book of Life. And we see that in Revelation, in the epistolary sections in the beginning, chapters 2 and chapter 3, where those who don't persevere, their names could be blotted out of the Book of Life, or who don't overcome. And that was written to those first century saints who had to go through that great tribulation. And you can hear all of that in the 6 episodes that we have published already on video or on our blog sites. So with that, the Book of Life contains the names of those who not only acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, which would be found in the Bible in Romans chapters 10, verses 9 and 10, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, but those who continue in the faith and continue to do what our Lord says, who take up their cross daily and follow him. And the church historically has always understood 2 facts about assurance of faith, and that is confession of faith in Christ and perseverance in the faith. In fact, you see this in the confessions of faith. For example, the Westminster Confession of Faith, among those who are of the Reformed traditions, you see that there is an assurance of faith, like St. John wrote in the first epistle, chapter 5, verse 13, you can find this, that I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life and that this life is in his Son, Jesus, and that you may continue to believe. So there is a knowing, there is an assurance. However, the Catholic Church has been very good, as well as the Protestant churches have been very good in their confessions, to state that one should never presume regarding one's name being in the Book of Life, or presume their definitive election without the concept of persevering faith. In other words, as Jesus said to the saints of the first century, they that persevere to the end shall be saved. Whether they were alive and persevered through the great tribulation of the first century, or whether they persevered even to the extent that their life was lost for their testimony, or that we persevere today in our faith until we pass from this life to the next. As Jesus said in the raising of Lazarus, he that believeth in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And he that believes in me while he yet lives shall never die. So when it comes to our calling and our election, there are these 2 aspects that are immutable. They're unchangeable truths. And our church historically has always maintained that unless God speaks to you through divine revelation, we cannot presume this election or being in this book of life without this persevering faith, which comes by grace. And in the Catholic Church, that grace comes through the sacraments that are provided, and those sacraments impart that grace. In a Protestant church, again, you would have very few churches that would not acknowledge that it is grace that causes that continuation in the faith. But there's one passage I wanted to have this epilogue for, this capstone, and that is the second letter of St. Peter. And in the second letter of St. Peter, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 11, but I'd like to actually start at the beginning of that chapter because it's just a few more verses, but I would like you to hear what he says about making your calling and election sure, because we don't have to walk through life with quiet anxiety, just teetering on the edge of panic about our election. Even if we were to sin, we can confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us. And just by virtue of us wanting to confess our sins and move ahead shows that God's grace is working within. Even if you were to confess 70 times 7 in one day, that shows the extent, as our mystical Christians in the Middle Ages have told us, the extent of God's oceans of endless mercy. Thank you, Catherine of Siena. So with that, I'm going to read to you the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through those you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature for this very reason. Now, let these words sink deep into your ears. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith, or add to your faith, with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brothers, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. In other words, make your calling and election sure. Obtain that assurance that you're looking for if you do this, you will never fall, so there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is the answer. St. Peter is saying, add to your faith. You want to make your calling and election sure? Then determinatively add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and godliness and perseverance, brotherly kindness and love. And if you're doing this continually, you're making your calling and election sure. And if you sin, there's nothing that knocks that assurance out of whack quicker than sin. Then that's where we're naked and open before God, quickly acknowledge our sins, and then move on. Keep going. Endure to the end. So we nurture those virtues, and that's why we see in the church the theological virtues that we pursue. We add these things to our faith. Theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. You know, that's at the end of the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And then there are the cardinal virtues that, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas brings forth as he synthesizes the teachings of Aristotle with the teachings of Jesus and St. Paul. And we come up with those cardinal virtues of prudence, That is using right reason to act in a wise manner, prudence. And then from that flows the cardinal virtues of justice, courage or fortitude, and temperance. And then what we want to do, and we want to make sure that we do, is we keep the commandments of God that are summed up in the Ten Commandments. And I know that there's a little difference in the numbering system between Protestants and Catholics on the Ten Commandments, but both bodies embrace all 10 and all the substance of all 10. Don't let anyone tell you that that's not the case. You can read your Catechism of the Catholic Church if you want to find out what the Church believes. Sometimes you have to not always believe every Catholic and what they say the Church believes, but go to the Catechism, go to the sources. Do what's scholarly and what's right. We also want to put off the vices that we see in Scripture, and you can see those in Galatians chapter 5. And you can also see the fruit of the Spirit, those virtues in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, against which there's no law. So if you are nurturing yourself in those virtues, then you're not going to be blotted out of the book of life. You're going to endure, and you're making your calling and election sure, as St. Peter said. But those vices, we put off pride, we put off envy. Envy, nothing will take away your joy quicker than being moved by your peers to envy others. It'll take away the joy of godliness and contentment, which is great gain. Lust, anger, lusting, burning after those things that are forbidden. Anger, gluttony, as well as greed and aseity or sloth. Diligence is man's prized possession. So we put off these vices, which makes a man vicious, and we put on the virtues, and we continue to do so until the end. Let me give you a few resources. I'm going to give you these free of charge, no salesman will call. And that is Father Chad Ripperger, PhD, also a grand saint and an exorcist and a priest. He and his brethren wrote this book, Deliverance Prayers. These are prayers you pray for yourself, for healing. They're designed for the lay people. You see a lot of prayers in there, like the litany, and prayers like to St. Michael, the breastplate prayer of St. Patrick. Prayers for binding and loosing of demonic hosts that may be necessary. Now, we recognize the devil is bound, but we also know that people allow oppressive demonic influence in their lives because they, perhaps for a long period of time, have opened the door to sin. And this is a very good book. Lots of prayers in it, and even prayers for healing of the body, healing of psychological oppression. So you'll see that and how to pray those prayers. So you can pick that up at Amazon or any good book outlet. And then there's another aspect. When it comes to those vices, I have loved the work of Gerhard Zerbelt of Zutphen. And this is a book written by an individual, a scholar, who was one of the leaders of what was called the Brethren of the Common Life in the Netherlands in the 14th century. And it's been translated into English. And you can pick this up. It's part of what's called the Scholar Select Series. It's called The Spiritual Ascent. What I like about this, make sure this is on camera, it's not The Spiritual Ascent, a devotional treatise. I like about that is because for each of the vices, Gerhard speaks to the triggers that you got to watch out for, that you don't walk into these areas of cardinal sin. All right? I always like what the saints say. So read your scriptures. Make sure you look at that catechism of the Catholic Church, is what I'd recommend. And then get these spiritual books by saints of old. And now, he's not a canonized saint, but certainly believers of old who will certainly help you in your walk. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may these six episodes, as well as this capstone, be a blessing to you, because we want to persevere in our faith. We want to walk with assurance. We want to make our calling and election sure, because we're abounding in love and adding to our faith all of those virtues that will ensure that the door of the kingdom of the heavens is always open to us, whether we live or whether we pass from this life. For to us, to live is Christ, to die is gain. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. You can write us at jerry@justjerry.com. You can pick up Jerry's book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead, at bookstores everywhere. Access our videos, podcasts, blogs, as well as free papers and materials at justjerry.com. Join us next time as we drive the conversation to the truth that Jesus Christ is King and His kingdom rules over all and is expanding over the earth in these days. Fear God, keep His commandments, and abound in love.